Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're talking a strange one. It was supposed to be a TV show pilot that then was actually a made-for-TV movie that then never really aired anywhere because I think it got canceled. But it's still out there for you to watch. Right now, you can find it on YouTube, and it is titled Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It is very 90s weird. I'm not even really sure like what it's supposed to be or what they thought it was, but it was definitely a goofy watch, so...
Emphasis first on thoughts. Goofy.
Yes.
I think I want Lisa to go first because I'm trying to think of the right words to say at the moment.
Okay. So this movie is precisely what you would expect to see on the Sci-Fi Channel in 1998. And that is not criticism. That is not praise. It is just a pure description. And this was fun to watch, especially from our current perspective, you know, well into the MCU. But as far as the actual quality of this movie goes, it has some fun moments, and of course it gives us a new kind of version of Nick Fury that we have not gotten ever in MCU proper. But I think most of the fun of watching the movie is with that remove instead of actually enjoying it for what it is, because a lot of the movie is kind of cringy, to be honest with our podcast listeners. And I'm looking forward to getting into it. And I might have to use some TV 14 language to describe what is happening in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good way to put it.
Okay, that makes me feel good, because like some of the last moments of this movie were so cringe, borderline uncomfortable. I did not really know where they were going, and I'm kicking myself because I'm actually quite surprised, because like the writing on this is something. It's definitely 90s. And I don't know if it's just 90s cheesy, and it fits with so many things that we've seen in the 90s. But I'm looking up the resume of David S. Goyer.
Yes,
I'm quite surprised. He's the writer like on all the Blade movies, Batman Begins, like The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises, Man of Steel. Like, he's so in the superhero realm. Man, oh man, this movie. The one-liners throughout this or something.
Oh, yeah. I will say it is to me, this was very reminiscent of like the early live action Batman movies, where it was like, we're going to take a comic book and put it on the screen for you to watch. And that is what this is, like one liners and like goofy set pieces. I mean, it's just like you're watching a comic book. And I don't really know that the story is all that bad. I think with like a little tweaking and maybe, you know, a couple rewrites, the overarching story of this could have been pretty cool. But I think when you put this like kind of cool story with this really cheesy comic book on TV, somewhere there's a disconnect and you end up with this, which you're kind of like, well, I see why this maybe didn't get greenlit for the future series or whatever it was supposed to be.
I'm wondering
go ahead, Luke.
Well, I'm wondering if they would have chosen to use more notably known characters, it could have stuck better. Because some of these, I question if they were like made for TV characters just to kind of part of the story. I haven't looked into like all of the agents' names. You know, we got our primary two, which we'll get into in a little bit, which the second one, the female lead / love interest of Nick Fury, I was not expecting to go with this character, but yeah.
And I was going to say that whenever I was scrolling through the reviews of this movie on Letterboxd, most of which did rate it as being pretty mid, one of them pointed out that at the time, this was the biggest actor who had ever been cast in a Marvel role. David Hasselhoff was extremely famous whenever this was made, and they had never had somebody of that caliber stepping into a Marvel comic book adaptation. Which now it seems kind of laughable because we've got the biggest stars on the planet playing some of these characters, including playing Nick Fury. But yeah, it just shows how much time has passed. How many things have changed since the storied year of 1998?
Yeah. I will say something that surprised me was right when the movie started, you get the comic book flip for the Marvel logo. And I was like, wow, I definitely thought that started with Iron Man. So crazy to see that was used in existence. Then. Yeah. Like, I don't, was that in front of any of the Spider-Man movies? I don't remember that.
I was wondering the same thing.
See, now I want to go back and like check out Blade again or the Fantastic Four movies. I can't remember if they may have had it.
Yeah, I remember the like the big red Marvel, but I don't remember it being like the comic book pages flip. So that was super exciting to see.
Yeah.
Another like fun blast from the past thing was that on the YouTube version that I watched, and maybe the same one that y'all watched too, in the corner it had the logo for the Encore Action Channel, which I fully forgotten had even existed.
Yeah. About probably half the way through, I started like looking at that and I was like, okay, this was on Encore, okay. And then apparently there is, I'm so curious, any listeners, if you own this, let us know, there is a DVD in existence that released on September 30th, 2008.
Yeah.
How many, this is also, how many copies?
Does it have bonus features?
I think there's a VHS version of this too. And both of them are very difficult to find because when I first looked into this as something for us to watch, I was like, well, if I can't find it online somewhere, like how could I get it and we could watch it? Yeah. And it was like, oh, it's like $120 for this movie. No thanks.
Kicking myself. We should have asked Donovan to come on. But Donovan, if you're listening, I know you got a copy. Let us know.
Well, let's get into the story a little bit here, because it starts off with like a pretty big name in the Marvel universe. And it definitely made me think that we were going to like see Captain America. But you find the movie starts basically in this SHIELD facility where they're keeping Baron von Strucker's presumably dead frozen body. Why? I don't think they ever really explain why. They're just
why does it look like that?
Yeah. Well, he had some sort of virus, and I think they like didn't want the virus to get out. But it's like, well, there's plenty of other ways you could have dealt with his body than freeze it and keep it in, let's be honest, real low security. They make it seem like there's a ton of people in this building, and then you realize, oh, there's pretty much two guards in this room. And then one of them, surprise, shoots the other one, and an alarm sounds. And then all of a sudden there's like all these guards, and you're like, well, where are they? Why aren't they guarding this room? I was very confused. Like, why does it look like there's so many people here when a second ago there was basically nobody here? Mm-hmm. But we like, you know, right away, it's like Hydra is here. They're stealing stuff. And you're like, oh, Hydra's the big bad for this. Like, okay, cool. Maybe we'll get some Avengers stuff going on. Even like mentions of it. Don't get your hopes up. That's not mentioned at all. I did like the one guard who gets shot when he like gets up to start fighting back. He has probably my favorite one liner of the entire movie. He just goes, let's rock and let's roll.
That was one of the notes that I made. I told Drew before we started recording, I only made like six notes, but that was one of them, was that line. Amazing. Yeah.
That line. Oh, and actually it's not even it's let us rock and let us roll is the line.
Oh my gosh.
Let just us.
That whole intro, the sounds, like the, you know, the how they like put the text on the screen. I mean, instantly I'm just thinking of like X-Files. Like, it's all the same. It's like copy and paste, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things in here that to me it's just like I've seen this in so many 90s series that it just feels like they just copy and paste the sound effects files over.
Yeah. Yeah. That little like typewriter, like,
yeah. Yeah. The fonts, everything, it just all feels familiar.
Well, basically, I'm not like 100% sure. I don't think his whole body gets stolen. I think just like samples of his body gets stolen. And S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, what do we do? I know, we have to call in like this one person. He's the only person that's going to be able to solve this, and it's Nick Fury, and we have to go find him. So they go find him, and I think this was like my biggest issue with the movie, is when they find him, he's in like a boarded up old train tunnel, and he's just pickaxing the wall, like not bare rock.
Yeah.
He's just like chipping away at solid concrete and hasn't made any like dent in it. It looks like he just started like right before this guy got there. No explanation. No. It is never mentioned, like, what is he doing here? Why is he here? Is he actually trying to do something, or is he just so bored that he's just decided to start chipping away at this cement wall? I was so confused. And it's not a quick like 2 second scene. I mean, he hits the wall like six or seven times.
No, it is, in my estimation, it was there to show off those guns. It was something for the ladies.
It's so like choreographed, because it's like the amount of time they just put just on that emphasis, and then it's like he's got to slowly turn and walk like directly into this like stream of water with cigar in his mouth.
It's a great intro shot to Nick Fury. I will say that.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're just like playing off the like he's from Baywatch. Let's like show his muscles and make him walk through water. But it just made no sense for what he was doing, for this like grizzled army vet to be just chipping away at a wall. And then, yeah, to your point, just walk straight through a waterfall for no reason.
Yeah. And like, okay. Is the cigar like, is that canon to the comics?
Yeah, he does. He is a little like, in the older comics, at least, he is a little bit more like Wolverine-y in the sense of like he's got a cigar, a stogie.
Yeah.
I did also think it was funny that like basically somebody is there. We don't know who's there. He's chipping away at the wall. He hears them like rattling the door, which was weird too. And so then he has to run. He has to like sneaky run away to hide in this tunnel. And he's hiding in the tunnel. And then he lights a match and relights his cigar. And it's like, what are you doing? You're like hiding in a dark tunnel and now you're lighting a fire so that anyone could see exactly where you're hiding. Like, oh, boy.
It's not exactly super agent behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. But basically, you find out that the person that broke in is here from S.H.I.E.L.D. and they're trying to call him back. And you find out that he was like excommunicated from S.H.I.E.L.D. And they don't really go into that either. And, I wish I have read a few Nick Fury comics, but I have not read a majority of them. So I don't know if there's a storyline there that this is supposed to be like nodding to or alluding to. But yeah, they're just like, yeah, you got kicked out of S.H.I.E.L.D., but now we need you back. And he's like, I don't want to come back. You guys kicked me out. And they're like, but we need you. And he says, okay, like, fine, I'll come help. But it's just very much like, what did he get kicked out for? Like, what did he do that got him excommunicated? Is he really the only person that can help in this situation?
I'm sure they would have explained all this if it had been picked up for series.
You're right.
Yeah. Which this was an hour and 30 minutes, right? Like, and they probably could have given us like 5 minute story.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like tossed it in there. Yeah. We could have taken out like a good minute of him pickaxing the wall and they could have used that to explain.
Or the amount of like stogie scenes. Like there's a lot of scenes where he just like has to get another cigar.
And so many scenes of the villain like just posing and like saying ridiculous things for no reason.
Yeah.
Paper thin villain in this, by the way.
Yes. Very, very weak. And also it's just, you know, it's very of its time and not in, you know, necessarily good ways. Nick Fury is very grumpy and he is very misogynistic.
What?
There are multiple times where it's like, this is like uncomfortable that they are making him basically like, he's telling this female agent the only reason she's good at being an agent is because she's good at sexploitation. And it's like, whoa.
Sexpionage. That's the term he uses, is sexpionage. It's another note I wrote down. And like, basically, like when he's in that scene, he's introducing her to somebody else and is essentially calling her, here's a PG-13 language, a slut to this new person. And it's like, okay, I get that they have some history, but nowadays it would not be addressed this way.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. If we're meant to like get on board with this guy as a character, no. They wouldn't have him come out the gate treating not just a girl, but like a female, essentially co-worker like this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And this isn't like 40 minutes into the movie or anything where we've like seen him and we know him. This is like basically
pretty early on.
Yeah. The initial, you know, we see him hide in the cave, but he doesn't really talk a lot. The first time we see him talk, here he is just like shaming this female spy that's working for him or with him or whatever. And it's just like, wow.
It's basically just had time to be like, hi, Nick.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't know that I'm on your side here. Yeah.
But let's mention who the female agent is.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah. It's Do you want to do it?
It's Contessa Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, which, like, I was not expecting that at all.
I wasn't either. And it's really weird, too, because right before I watched it, I read an article about how if the MCU is going to follow the current comic series with the Contessa, where she is a like cyborg, like half human, half robot person.
Yeah.
Really? They're like, I wonder if they're going to do that. And so then I watched this, and the whole time they do a lot of stuff with life model decoys in this movie, which mm-hmm. like we haven't seen yet, other than I think it's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But we haven't really seen that in the greater MCU.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, is she a robot? Like, what's going on here? I'm so confused at what's happening. Why is she a part of this? I didn't realize she was a spy with him.
Yeah. That's a good point, because there's weird moments where like that gets kind of muddy for me. Like, I'm not really sure. Like, and then, but now, like, rethinking about the whole thing, it makes you wonder, like, who's who.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
this is very like James Bondy Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Feels like
yes,
there's so
he is very James Bond. Like,
he's a lot more James Bondy. Like the whole, like, you know, when you see these cybernetic copies being made, it kind of gives me, there's moments where I thought they're going more Mission Impossible route, like, or they can have like masks, they can just kind of like make themselves look different, and then I'm like, oh, this is no more Westworld, like they're actually building like these clones. But I love like the whole like intro into like the shield, and it's immediately going to see like this Q-like person that's giving him a gun that's kind of tied to his handprints. And
which I will say, for them being like a super organization.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Spy, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The one and only gadget that he gets is a gun that shoots electricity instead of bullets.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the like cool,
yeah,
super future tech that he gets.
Which,
and I was like,
so
wait.
What's so funny with that? It's like I think it was like Casino Royale? It was like one of Daniel Craig's earlier Bond films, like when he meets, you know, that's all he gets. He gets a pistol that's tied to, and then like, I think a radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where's the watch? Where's like all this, you know, yeah, where's like
anything,
the sandwich that's a bomb? Like, like, yeah, but I'm looking at like, you know, like looking at this era, this is like the Pierce Brosnan Bond era.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
so they should have done anything,
yeah,
would have been better than a gun that looked like you glued a piece of plastic to and painted it silver and said it shoots electricity. It was not well done.
I mean, this thing probably had a budget of like $100,000.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even look that up.
Somebody was back there painting that plastic gun, making it look real nice for the cameras.
Yeah. I do want to mention really quick, since we're on the Q character, and it's Christmas, the guy's name is Daniel Canada, I think. Is the actor who plays that character, and he is like he's in a ton of things. If you look him up, you'll be like, wow, I didn't know that he was in all this stuff. But for the season, he's one of the cops in Home Alone 2 that helps him in Central Park.
Oh, so, yes. You said Ron Canada?
Ron Canada, yeah.
Love that actor. He's in so much.
Yeah, like, he's in so many things.
He's in so many things, yeah. Great actor.
I wanted to point out another like weird choice that they did that made me, you know, are we trying to be like everyone is robots? All of the Hydra like goons are painted silver. And I don't know why. Like, none of the comics are they silver? They're usually wearing green and yellow. Like, why are they silver?
They're just goon in what style?
Yeah. Like, very Power Rangers, right?
Like
the Goon Squad. That's like, yeah.
It was just so weird. I was like, why are they? At first, I thought that because a lot of this movie is like in shadows. Like, there's lots of scenes where people are just like covered with shadows for no reason. So the first couple of times, I thought like, oh, are they painted sort of like snakes? Are they like a silvery green, and it's like some cool, like, ooh, cool, snaky people. And then you see like a bunch of them standing just in fluorescent lighting, and you're like, oh, nope, they're just silver. And like, not really well painted either. Just sort of like half painted in silver.
Splotchy.
For why? I don't know. It was a strange choice.
$100,000. I couldn't afford the paint and the primer.
A lot of this movie takes place in what look to be like two sets.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they filmed a bunch of stuff facing this side of the set, and then they were like, okay, let's pretend we're in a different room. Everybody, we're going to put the cameras over there and shoot this way now. And everything just looks the same. Like, basically from the moment that he gets out of that tunnel, we're in like labs, just nondescript labs, mm-hmm. and science technology rooms for pretty much the rest of the movie.
In hallways.
In hallways.
There's a couple hallways. Like,
yeah. The only other scenes we get are like the weird CG, awful green screen, weird like spider version of the helicarrier and the weird Quinjets that they fly around. And whenever they get up to the helicarrier, the like main deck looks like far too small. When they show the people standing in it, it looks like it's big enough for like two or three people to walk around that room. And then the next time you see the helicarrier, that same room is like gigantic. And you're like, oh man, somebody messed up on sizing them on that green screen for the room they were supposed to be in. It was, oof, not a good year for CG, I don't think.
Nope.
But there's just lots of not like dead space, but it does seem like there's a lot of time where like nothing's really going on, or like the story that we're getting is that Nick Fury is just sort of like the bad boy of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so everyone is kind of arguing with him about like how we should be taking care of this threat and like what is the actual threat. And then you find out that the threat is like they have bombs hidden around that are going to release this toxin that they explain what it does, but not really. Like, it just kills you, I think.
Death's Head virus.
Yeah. But at one point they make it sound like it takes you over. And then another time they make it sound like it just kills everybody. So it's
what they do not ever do is evacuate.
No. Well, yeah, we can't cause people to panic. It's better just to let them.
Oh, well, they make that known too. That's like one of the things. That's one of the lines. It's like, he's like, you have to make sure the public never hears about this. It's like, okay,
let's just work.
It definitely tries to make this like a stealth mission, and like the whole like hallway stealth scene. I'm like, oh my goodness, these guys are so loud running in the hall, going back, zigzagging around. It's like,
yeah,
they're like bags are like clanking everywhere. It was zero stealth.
Yeah, and then there's like a mutant, I think, that's a part of the team, Kate. I don't know who she's supposed to be.
Like read minds.
Yeah. And then when she goes to read the mind to find the code to turn off the bombs, his mind is just full of like terrible images. And then that basically like renders her useless.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this character that like is the only person that has a power and then basically can't do anything with her power? Because the one time they need it, it doesn't work. Like, what was the point of that character? I'm so confused.
Like, surely they could have called in the Hulk.
Yeah. Anybody would have been better than Kate.
There was the one other villain as well. Like, there was the silver goons, and then there was, like, the larger ones that had, like, the black mask over their heads. Mm.
Yeah, just nondescript bad guys. I mean, no surprise, the end of the movie, they stop all the bombs and save everybody.
Nick, but not before Nick Fury gets poisoned.
That's right. He gets tricked. In what's probably the best scene in the whole movie.
Again, it feels so, all of this feels like it's stripped from like a James Bond movie, right? Because we meet Viper, who is basically trying to, you know, take over like Hydra. And there's like, you know, it's like moments that we've seen in like newer MCU films, right? Like she's getting all the leaders like on these TV screens where like now they would actually be like all holograms or something like that. But it's just like, questioning like loyalty and leadership, and so the laugh, there's the evil laugh was done like how many times? Yeah. Like at least two or three times.
Basically, every time she's doing anything, it has to end with her doing like an evil laugh.
Basically, you can tell like the nods from comics, because like the poison lipsticks, poison ivy, kisses Nick Fury. So.
Yep, and the only way that they can cure the poison that he has is by getting her, because she is the only one that's immune to this poison, because she wears it on her lips all the time. So we got to keep her alive so that we can keep you alive. And also, we don't know when this is going to kill you, but it probably will kill you. And then it seems to be relatively ineffective the whole time, like he's never like doubled over in pain.
Yeah. Like, but they're telling him it was like, it was like a 48-hour window, and they're going like, well, you know, all you've got right now is a mild fever, but here in the next like 2 hours, it's going to escalate to this, and it's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And he's just like, I got this, I can do it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
and like
he was right, he got it, and they shouldn't have worried about it.
It's like couple of moments where it's like, I gotta catch my breath, and that was about it.
And then it ends with like another scene that seems like it's only in the movie to have him with his shirt off, where they're like, yep, you check out, you're all healed now from the poison lipstick.
Yeah,
and then the movie ends.
One more angle on that chest.
Yeah, it just sort of ends. It doesn't really end in a way that makes you wonder, is there going to be more of this or not?
The ending was so creepy cringe. Because it's like, Baron's alive, you know, Viper got away and achieved this, but their whole like dynamic was so like did not feel father daughter. It was really cringe. It was bad.
I will also point out that her relationship with her brother did not seem on the up and up either.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Yeah.
And he, like, her brother didn't get that much time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was just wasted time as well, because the lines that he had in this movie to me didn't contribute to anything. Like, he just show up and would poke his head up and be like, say something. And that was that. I was like, why have him here? What was the point of all that?
To push the plot along.
And I guess it did.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I scrubbed through the credits because I was like, surely there will be a post credit scene. But this is
I did the same
pre post credit scene Marvel. So there is nothing there. I think they knew that this probably wasn't going anywhere. I guess, you know, unless there's anything else you guys have to say about it, I would say to wrap this up, do you hope that we get some sort of like remake of this? Or do you hope that there's ever like, is there a future where we could find out more about what happens to this version of Nick Fury?
The way things are going right now in the world of the MCU, I don't know. This brings in like the question of like, you know, let's say we do go down this path of like Secret Wars, and we're going to have all of this, like, you know, planets colliding and all these characters from different Earths coming into play. Like, could we see, I don't know what all Hasselhoff is doing these days, but if he could come back as Nick Fury, it would be quite interesting.
We get like a Nick Cage Superman nod.
Right. Yeah. I would have loved to see more things like this. I did look at the YouTube channel, and there's like one other Marvel property they had on there that was like a full length or like a feature presentation type thing. So I may go check that out. But yeah, I wish there could have been more of this. I think it would have been fun. Get more time with these characters. Nick Fury is like such a fascinating character, and I like that we've gotten a little bit more time with him recently with like Secret Invasion, but like, you know, really kind of understand the workings of him, of like there's a lot of stuff I think with this character we should know more.
I can't believe I forgot to mention my favorite scene in the entire movie when he lifts up his eye patch and he pulls out his plastic eyeball that turns out to be a grenade.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait. So not only do you not really need the eye patch because you have a fake eye in there, but your fake eye is a bomb that you use to like detonate a wooden door.
And it also stays like perfectly clean the entire time. Like, you would think it would be gross.
Oh, man. When he pops it out, I was like, wait a second, what? And also, not only does he pop it out, but he pops it out and there's like wires attached to it that he has to pull the wires out and then like shove them back into his eye. So I was like, wait, so you have a robot eye, but instead of use it, you just keep an eye patch on it?
It's a secret.
Okay. I don't know why this popped in my brain, but what would be a crazy crossover kind of cool? I think one of the most coolest, like, unique villains ever, if you've seen The Last Action Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger, like the one eye guy that had like changes his eye, like fake eyeball through that.
Yeah.
Like having him go up against Nick Fury.
An eye off.
That'd be wild.
I mean, this definitely felt like they took James Bond and they took Arnold Schwarzenegger and they mashed him together, and you got Hasselhoff Nick Fury. So I think all in all, a fun watch. I wouldn't ever say it's a good movie, but it is funky and it is fun, and if you like that 90s vibe, then you'll definitely enjoy it. Right now you can still watch it, the entirety of it, for free on YouTube. But if you're thinking about watching it, I suggest going to watch it now, because who knows how long it will be available there. And once it's gone, you might have to shell out hundreds of dollars to buy a copy of this to watch it, because it is not available for rent anywhere. So keep that in mind, listeners.
I wonder if Marvel would ever want to like bring this, you know, back or something. I don't know.
I mean, it definitely seems like something that they could throw up on Disney Plus. I don't know, like, what the licensing is for this. Like, who owns this?
The wiki says the budget on this was $6 million as well. I'm curious, because this doesn't feel like $6 million budget.
Half of it is for Hasselhoff, and half of it is for the CG effects.
Production companies are Marvel Entertainment and 20th Century Fox Television.
So Fox probably.
So they should own it in all directions since they bought Fox.
Right. Oh, that's right. They bought Fox. So yeah. So yeah, they should absolutely put this. What are you doing, Disney? Put this on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to put some respect on Nick Fury's name.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is a little problematic here and there. Maybe they don't want to be tied to this at all. Oh man.
Because quick question. In our current MCU lineup, we haven't had Nick Fury and Dave Fontaine. They have not crossed paths, correct?
I don't think so. Not yet.
No.
That could be interesting.
The closest we got was Dave Fontaine and Martin Freeman's
right
character. That so was Nick like Fury,
he's got to know that she's around doing stuff, right?
Like, I would assume. I mean,
that could be interesting. I don't know.
I don't know if in this MCU, if she was ever a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. or not.
Right.
I mean, it's possible, but
yeah,
it's also possible that she's just her own governing body and they're keeping it separate. But I mean, we'll have to find out eventually.
Yeah.
There's going to be some sort of crossover. Well, that does it for us this week. We hope that you all have a happy holiday. Go watch Hawkeye, Iron Man 3. I watched Iron Man 3 when I was in my holiday mood.
The Christmas, like the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special?
Yeah, the holiday special.
Don't forget, like, here in just a few days, we've got What If Season 2 starting.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. You get one episode a day for 12, or not 12 days. How many episodes are there?
9 days.
9 days. Which, missed opportunity. Like,
yeah.
12 days of Christmas, do 12 episodes, whatever.
Yeah, that's up for, three that's... more episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely join us next time where we'll probably break that down all as one series and hopefully get some cool stories. Looking forward to weird Mad Max Mario Kart with Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait for that episode.
Well, any last thoughts before we leave?
2.5 out of 5 eye patches.
Oh, yeah, we didn't rate it. That's okay. That's good.
Oh, I gotta go 1.5 out of 5 eye patches.
I will say 3 exploding eyeballs out of 5 eye patches. Solid mid movie.
Solid mid.
On that, see you all next week.
Bye.
I put my hands up like this and then, oh, it's doing it again.
It's like the new Mac OS stuff. Yeah.
That was so weird.
It's not doing it to me. Dang it.
You have to do both hands?
I don't know. It like sometimes pops up and then sometimes doesn't.
Yeah. I haven't updated yet. I'm doing that over Christmas break. So sometime next week.
Maybe I haven't updated.
Fun future stuff.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.